All right.
Got it.
Welcome back again. This is part of the little series we're doing about the basketball news and all that. This one we're going to talk about the Nets, Jazz, and 76ers being underachievers for where they finished and who they had. But obviously, you guys already know where I'm going with this. This is sponsor of video, Anthony's Jewelers. Phone number's here. Book appointment down there. Call and book. Go online and book. Very simple process. Anthony Manzo and the team will help you over there, of course. But we're going to go straight into it because this is a little bit we got to talk about, obviously. So
let's do it.
We'll start first with the Jazz because, you know, 76ers and Nets have more to talk about. So we'll start off, we'll start off with the Jazz. We'll talk about the team, you know, that started COVID. So good old Rudy Gobert.
And Conley's a bitch, too, and deserves to get his all-star appearance rescinded.
Yeah, he's a little pansy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just my take on the Jazz is, you know, they did lose to the Suns. So
No, Clippers.
They did lose to the Clippers. And not healthy Clippers, either.
Yeah, without Kawhi.
So that's a little
It was tied scary. 2-2, and then Kawhi was out because Kawhi got hurt in game 4.
So I don't really want to say this. Like, they're very good, but they're not a finals team. Like,
no, they were just missing that one piece.
I think Rudy, and it was also the fact that Gobert wins Defensive Player of the Year and then proceeds to absolutely get torched in that series. Like, they shot, I forgot what it was. There was an insanely high percentage in the paint against Rudy Gobert. In that series,
yeah.
The Clippers just dominated
Reggie
him
Jackson
inside.
Was like doing whatever he wanted.
Yeah, so I don't understand how you could win Defensive Player of the Year and then get torched. You know, like
maybe it's a curse, like what happened to Giannis last year.
I don't know. It's just like when I look at the Jazz, Mitchell's good, obviously.
Yeah,
Conley's a nice fit, a little injury prone. Bogdanović is nice. It's worth it. He's a good scorer.
Right.
Ingles is a good like little player. Like, they have a team. Royce O'Neal's good. Clarkson's obviously good.
Royce O'Neal, though, he just can't score enough, which they need. Like, they just need someone who can really shoot well when they, like, for what he does. I know he's a good hustler, but he's, like, kind of, like, almost in a way, like, a very shitty Draymond. Like, he's an undersized power forward.
Yeah.
His passing's okay. Like, not, like, elite like Draymond's was. And yeah, he just can't score. They're missing like that element.
Well, let me ask this for both of you. This is what we'll do. What do you think the Jazz need to do this offseason? Because they underwhelmed, obviously, lost in the second round as one seed. What do they have to do to win next year? Or just get past the second round, put themselves in the conference finals? Like, what move do they have to do? What player do they have to trade? Who do they have to look for in the draft? Like, what do they need to do?
I'll let you go first, Kyle. Let's hear what you think on this one.
Well, I'm looking at this series kind of tightly, and it's just a lot of dumb mistakes that they're doing. Just like what they're doing with putting like the bench people out there, like it's just in such weird pairs. Like, and the bench also really isn't providing like.
So basically,
Ingles could have done more too.
Yeah, like
Jordan Clarkson obviously did very well though.
Yeah, but when you're not really putting like Derek Favors is out there for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You're mostly playing your five players. Like,
and when Conley's useless, Clarkson's in the whole time anyways.
Yeah, and it's also just you got to learn when to stop shooting threes. Like, for example, Game 5 when. The Jazz had a chance to win at home and potentially swing things. It was a close loss, 119 to 111. Mitchell was shooting 4-14 from three. You got to learn when to stop. And he had 21, 6 of 19. Like, it's just the shooting. Just dumb stuff.
So basically, you're recommending that they need to go out and look for just sharp shooting.
Sharp shooting and beefing up the bench because also in game 5, half of their bench did not play. And the players that did play played like 5 minutes, except for Jordan Clarkson. They mostly were running on 6 players for the entire game.
Right.
And you're going to run the steam out from their players, the star ones, real quickly.
Yeah.
that's how they lost four straight to lose the series. Simple as that.
Yeah, I think so. Conley's absence and injuries definitely affected it, but I think it's time to move on from him, first of all. Try to, like Kyle said, fortify the bench, get better in that aspect. And then, but also, you know, even if you don't focus on the bench, try to get another superstar there. Like, do what you can to trade. There's a lot of guys available right now. You know, even if you bring Gordon Hayward back, hey, that's not like I'd move Hayward for Mike Conley if you could.
Yeah.
I'd probably rather have Mike Conley.
That wouldn't make much sense for the Hornets, because then they would have an abundance.
Yeah, no, I know.
Guards.
No, of course. Yeah. I get that. Well, you could find a three-way package somehow, some way.
We could probably make like a deal with like Bogdanovich and something for Hayward, because I mean, if the Hornets went out of the contract mainly, they can get Bogdanovich, who's I think like 10 mil cheaper.
Because I know he's just throwing him as like a hypothetical name.
Oh no,
if they could bring in someone like Brandon Ingram though, that'd be even better.
They would have to give.
They probably don't have the assets though.
They would probably have to give up a little bit more. I'd probably
have Clarkson and Conley all day.
Maybe Bogdanovich potentially.
Yeah, maybe. Right. Absolutely. No, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't really see that working, because
they're in a tough situation.
They need a secondary scorer.
Yeah,
like, exactly. Yeah,
and I've said this to Josh a bunch too. I've probably said this to you a bunch, Kyle. Like when we do like our debates and stuff, like Mitchell is a star player, but the thing is, he shot a high percentage, but there's some games where you could tell that he doesn't have the required help. Like Jordan Clarkson's a good scorer, but he's a spotty scorer.
Yeah. Right.
And he shoots so much that sometimes you look at the end of the game, he shoots it 27 times, but he's like 10 for 27. So
he's pretty efficient though over the year.
Oh no, this year, yeah. But he has his games where it's like you look at it and you're like, oh,
he was great. I'm not putting any blame on Jordan Clarkson whatsoever.
Yeah. I'm saying more Mitchell. Like, I would love for Mitchell to get the help.
You're right. He does need a better scorer option.
Because Gobert is limited to what he does.
Yeah.
Clarkson's spotty scorer, but he does his job. He's not a superstar scorer. Bogdanovich is a good scorer, but still somewhat limited because he's not quick or anything like that. Like Conley, you know, he's a vet. He's a decent scorer, but he's not as good as he used to be.
Problems, man. But Conley was so great in the beginning of the year. He was shooting so well. He was doing everything that he had.
He was an all-star.
You know, yeah, that's why they were the best seed. Exactly. He was an all-star. And then, you know, once the injury problems came in the playoffs and he couldn't get consistent with his play, you know, I think that really sank them. And also, like, you know, like Kyle said too, like, not a good enough bench, no one they could really go to besides Mitchell to score. Bogdanovich couldn't really step up like he was last year.
Yeah.
Before he got hurt. A lot of injury problems, but yeah, they definitely need to shake things up.
If I were to recommend a trade, if they really wanted to shake up the Jazz, is I'm okay with them keeping Conley if they want to sign him, because he does his job. He's got some injury issues, but he's not the big issue. I think it's more Gobert does his job. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But is he really worth all that money when you could go out? And I'm not saying for Porzingis or anything, but I think if you're going to give all that money to a center, I think they need to get a more of an impact, at least. Like, you get the defensive impact, you get the IQ impact, but you don't get the offensive impact. You don't get the down low impact. I think like good teams like that, like look at the Suns right now. Booker's doing his job on the outside. Ayton's doing his job on the inside. You know, the Clippers are there because they have the two superstars, obviously, but Cousins have been doing his thing. Zubac's been doing his thing. And Reggie Jackson has been their inside player, who's a guard, but like they have the one guy who dominates inside, one guy dominating outside. That's what I'm trying to say. So like, I think if the Jazz really want to shake it up, Gobert should be entertained in some sort of trades. I think like it shouldn't be out of the question.
I agree. Yeah. I wouldn't really necessarily like go shopping
push
him, but I wouldn't automatically turn down offers either.
Yeah. But I think the Jazz are very fixable.
I think so too.
It's just finding the right format, because everything's under contract. Like Mitchell's under contract and stuff now, and you have the money over there, and Jazz are becoming one of a better market as time goes on because Mitchell is there now.
Yeah, D-Wade just took over ownership too a little bit.
Exactly. So they have the price and everything going on. So I think the Jazz are fixable. But I say let's move on to the Nets and 76ers,
right?
Because they're a little bit more in depth, and I want to make sure we get as much as we can in for this video.
A little more interesting too.
Well, for the Nets, I kind of feel like they had a Jazz kind of situation. Like, for example, when Game 5 happened, Kevin Durant put up that triple-double where he almost scored 50 points.
Yeah, that was insane.
You have Blake Griffin, Joe Harris, Brown, Harden, most specifically Joe Harris, Brown, and Harden, who had 5-2 and 5. You have James
Joe
Harden
Harris.
Playing.
Joe Harris.
You had James Harden playing 46 minutes, and he only made one basket and three free throws. You left him in for that long, almost the whole game, to provide that garbage.
Yeah, exactly. That's why people were saying Steve Nash and James, James Harden, Steve Nash and Joe Harris.
It took Kevin Green coming off the bench to do better than Harris, Brown.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy had to put up 27, and they were very lucky to win it. It's essentially what the Nets had was a Jazz-like situation. Horrible bench players, not playing them correctly, and then your superstar simply just not showing up. And then that happened with them losing back-to-back after this incredible performance that Kevin Durant put up.
My thing on the Nets is they willingly went for guys who have had recent injury problems. And this is why I don't feel bad for Nets fans. Well, actually, I shouldn't even say Nets fans because they're not fans. I put out a thing the other day. Half these guys don't even know who Richard Jefferson was. Half these guys don't even know
New Jersey legend.
Petrovic are. Petrovic. They don't even know that Brook Lopez.
They probably don't even know
that
Jason Kidd led New Jersey to a
finals appearance. They didn't even know Brook Lopez didn't play for the team, and he was their all-time leading scorer. Like,
unless you were pulling 10-year-olds, that's pretty sad.
But it's just like when it comes to Nets fans and the Nets organization, I don't feel bad. Because you willingly gave Kyrie a max contract knowing he has knee problems, ankle problems, and head problems in both ways. You willingly traded away LeVert, Jared Allen and a bunch of first round picks for Harden. And he's had injury problems in the past couple years as well. He makes a crap ton more money than Durant and Irving as well, because he's on that weird ass extension that's giving him like 40 plus mil a year. So he's on that. And then Durant, I actually like Durant, surprisingly. I know a lot of people don't like him, but he's really good. But like, other than those two, if those guys are out and Harden was on one leg, like it was all Durant. And Harris can only do so much, and he stunk. And then you trade away Jared Allen in the trade, and he's miles better than
Jared
Blake Griffin.
Allen. That
Blake
made
Griffin
no
stinks.
Sense.
Blake Griffin
that was the dumbest
shell.
Move of all time.
Blake
Not
Griffin
time,
is that.
But
Jared Allen would have been really good for this team.
Yeah, you know what makes really it even funnier? Good. Now they're looking to acquire Miles Turner potentially in a trade.
Because they're like, oh, we messed up.
Yeah.
Let's try to see if we can fix this, but then they can't fix it because they'd have to get rid of one of these guys, and they're like, oh, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I don't want to, you know, rip Steve Nash too hard because it's his first year as a coach, but his rotations and, you know, their last two losses to the Bucks were atrocious. Like you said, leaving James Harden for so long, making him one shot, dribbling, wasting too much time. Kevin Durant obviously was amazing. Only reason, you know, they were even in that series once Kyrie got hurt. And I don't want to take that away from them too, because if Kyrie never got hurt, things would have been much different. It could have even potentially have been a sweep. Probably not. Probably a 6-game or 5-game series, but I feel like the Nets would have won that.
This is how you fix the Nets. You trade Kyrie Irving for anything and everything you can get.
Nah, he's not going anywhere.
But if you want to win, if you are the Nets and you want to win with Kevin Durant and Harden, that's all you need. Give Kevin Durant and Harden better role players, and I guarantee you they have a better chance of winning the championship than with the three. Because
I feel like the role players were good, though, for most of the year. Landry Shamet, Joe Harris, Bruce Brown was pretty decent.
They're not high impact.
Bruce
Brown
didn't really show up this
impact.
Series. He played 20-plus minutes, though, but this man was very fortunate to even at least put 10 up.
Wait, who? Blake Griffin?
No, not Blake Griffin. Shamet.
No, Shamet was pretty good, honestly.
He was okay.
Shooting well.
He could have done better. He was very fortunate to at least put up 10 points again.
But he wasn't playing that much.
He was pretty solid.
No,
he wasn't playing much. He played
about 15 minutes, like in the game.
What can you do in 15 minutes in a 48-minute game?
He was able to put up 9 in one game.
Yeah, but exactly. What more could he really do?
I don't know. Bruce Brown is trying to say
Steve Nash at that point.
They're role players. If they're not, or they're very specific. Like Shamet is in there to shoot, and if he's not really doing anything, he's not bringing you anything. Mike James is there to be guard depth, and he's got some decent dribbling. He can shoot, but same thing. He's not high impact.
You couldn't really rely on him anyways because he was a late season addition. So
yeah, Bruce Brown is your real only impact guy, and you're kind of reliant on being healthy because your star players were going to be able to give you most of the effort and points.
And Joe Harris forgot how to shoot.
Yes, yeah, so it's like, but if you really want to fix the Nets, like I said, you trade Kyrie Irving. You need to go for a big man. Honestly,
Harris' true hatred is coming out.
I don't like Kyrie Irving.
He's just such a weird guy.
I hate Kyrie Irving for Nets fans. The guy who took personal leaves of absences from you guys this year to go to his brother's and sister's birthday parties in the middle of COVID. The guy who needs personal days off because he doesn't know if the world is round or flat today. It just doesn't. He's more of a distraction now than he's great talent, awesome scorer, great combo guard. Don't get me wrong, but like his distractions are way more than.
Oh no, agreed.
Than being a positive for the team, and it's like. You can't even like control him anymore. Kevin Durant can't even control him, and they teamed up together originally. So like,
right?
How are you supposed to succeed when he's either always hurt, taking leaves of absences, not focusing solely on basketball? Like, you need to find a way to move him this offseason. It's not going to happen, but I'm just saying, like, that's what I think that you would have to do. That's how you fix the Nets, because Joe Harris, you're not going to get that much from. You know, he's got trade value, but like
everyone can use a spot up shooter though.
He's not thinking he's not gonna give you something special in return.
Yeah, not colossal, but
you could definitely get Blake Griffin back for cheap, but it's Blake Griffin. He's not really gonna he's not giving you fully anything anymore. DeAndre Jordan was worthless.
He looked good though in that series. Not good, but you know.
Yeah. So
I just think the Nets' biggest downfall is just having just that big of a super team.
They went all in on three major guys with one good role player and hoping guys like Blake Griffin. Remember, they got LaMarcus Aldridge too, and then he had to retire because of the heart issues. So like, they went out. They were going for veteran pieces to work around, and they had Jeff Green. So it's like, they went out and got three superstars, role player, and then a bunch of veterans that was going to hopefully carry them through.
Yeah,
and Jeff Green got hurt. Joe Harris got hurt. Kyrie got hurt. Harden got hurt. But they're all injury prone. They've all had injuries throughout their whole career. Kyrie's always been hurt.
I wonder what would have been different too if Dinwiddie never got hurt and they kept him for the year. He would have been a great sixth man.
Josh, that's going to be something for another reality.
Well, yeah, Dinwiddie's definitely leaving.
No, he's not returning, but.
But now we get to talk about the team that everybody wants to talk about even more than the Nets. The Philadelphia 76ers. We get to truly go, and we don't have our time limit yet with our 40-minute Zoom, so we have more than 10 minutes, apparently. So my thing is on Philadelphia is they're turning into the Celtics slightly. They keep pushing the same team out year in and year out that makes the playoffs, has a good regular season, but they're getting to the point now where it's becoming repetitive and they need to make a change. Like, Celtics did it this offseason. They traded Kemba Walker away. They got Horford back, but Horford's not like the big high impact player anymore. So it's like, that doesn't matter. So it's like either Tobias Harris, Embiid, or Simmons, one of those three needs to be sent off for a new look team. It won't be Embiid, and it most likely won't be Harris. It's most likely going to be Simmons. So my thing on Philadelphia, if you want to
be
fix
worth,
the team,
you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea to move Harris either, though, because.
No,
I thought it was so obvious. Like, it felt like that Seth Curry and Embiid were the only two doing anything in late game minutes helping.
I like Harris though because
no, I
he's overpaid.
He's a better fit.
Yeah, he's overpaid, but he's a good fit because he can score from anywhere. And he's a very good rebounder, which helps out Embiid. And he's actually a pretty decent defender because he's pretty strong. So he does this. He fits well with Philadelphia. Like him and Embiid are a nice duo.
He's probably not going anywhere.
They need a scoring guard. They need Kemba Walker.
They need someone aggressive.
They need a guy like Kemba Walker because Kemba Walker would be fitting in that offense because he could be the scoring guard outside, and then they have Harrison and Embiid who work more mid-range inside. So it works. And then that could give Kemba Walker what he wanted to do maybe in Boston.
Yeah, are they still targeting Kyle Lowry?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure too.
I think Kyle Lowry was getting targeted by the Heat in Philly.
Yeah.
And they were in trade discussions at the deadline, so.
Yeah, I know also we were talking about Ben Simmons in our previous videos, but it's hard to see him stay after that playoff performance. How poorly he shot from the free throw line, 34% for the whole playoff series. Missed his, like, first 8 to 10. I forget the exact number, but
shot
it was
36%,
atrocious.
Right? Or 33%? Yeah,
30, I think it was 34, but I could be wrong. I don't remember the exact number, but
it was in the 30s.
Yeah. You can't have, like, you know, your second best player, your all NBA guy shooting that poorly from the free throw line and expect to win a playoff series. You know, that's a big problem. He probably would benefit from a change of scenery. Philly, like you said, Aaron, would definitely benefit from a change of scenery.
Mm-hmm.
Things up. But who would you like to see them go and target?
So, like I said, I think a scoring guard makes sense because you have
anyone
your good...
in particular, like a Zach LaVine, maybe.
So I was just going to say, like, a guy like McCollum makes sense. Like, I think a comma guard makes sense because
I think so too.
Seth Curry is also a pretty decent ball handler. Tyrese Maxey is obviously a pretty decent ball handler. So I think if they can get another nice mix of the combo guard to mesh with those two, I think it makes sense. Like McCollum can play point guard, but he's got good, you know, dribbling, so it works.
Yeah.
I would like to see them go for McCollum. I would like to see them go for Kemba Walker. I'd like to see them go for, I don't know if, I mean, LaVine would fit. I just don't think LaVine would go.
Probably not.
Go
realistically
there.
Though, they could bring in like Kyle Lowry and McCollum, because Kyle Lowry's trade value not going to be like anything special.
My thing is though, when you look at LaVine, it doesn't make sense for LaVine because the Bulls wouldn't want to really trade him to an Eastern Conference team. If it's the best package, you take it, obviously. But
I mean, if you're getting Ben Simmons.
Yeah. So
it's definitely like you know, it's intriguing.
Yes, it is. So I think a scoring guard fixes them. And I think that would make them the best team in the East. Because obviously Embiid's very, very, very good. Harris is a nice number two or number three guy, depending what role you need him to play.
Yeah.
And you have good role players.
They hit
on Tyrese Maxey. They hit on Seth Curry with the trade.
They more than hit on Seth Curry.
Korkmaz did his thing this year. Dwight Howard did his thing as a backup center this year.
Yeah, Dwight was pretty solid too.
Anything
Korkmaz, I don't really care about. You know, if they have to move him, go ahead and do it.
I'll let you and Kyle. You and Kyle, what do you guys think? What needs to be fixed? Like, what else would you recommend?
Any thoughts, Kyle?
I was gonna let you go first.
Any fresh thoughts? I feel like I'm keep going on.
For the Nuggets we're talking about?
No, Sixers.
76ers.
76ers. Oh, I thought we were going to talk about the Nuggets. For the 76ers, they just got to get rid of Ben Simmons, or they got to do something with them. The amount of times that they had to implement the Hack-a-Ben situation is so sad. You knew as soon as Ben Simmons was getting to the free throw line, you know, it was just him on a lonely island. He didn't want to be there.
He was mentally not there. And you know what's sad?
They need to get him angry like dodgeball.
How do you not
know? It was
kind
of funny too, because in game 7, you could tell he wanted to fight Trae Young.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to throw hands. He was getting so mad, especially when they were on the sideline. He ripped the ball from him when they got tangled up.
Which I still don't understand that. For anyone who watched that play, how?
Oh no, this was a different play. This wasn't the Tech one.
Oh, wasn't? Oh well.
No.
I'll talk about the Tech one quick. I still don't understand how Trae Young got a technical foul on that. Like, yeah, he did get the rest face, but it's like after the play, Ben Simmons still shoved him and fouled him. So it's like, make up your mind, refs. I just think like Ben Simmons. I think we're all in unison that he needs to change his scenery. He did his thing in Philly. All defensive player. Good all around guy.
All NBA player.
Yeah. So, like,
yeah, when
he's very talented, it's just a matter of will the change of scenery bring him to the next step? Because there's no reason for you to be a 6'10 point guard and you not getting closer to 20 points per game.
Yeah. When you're playing 36 minutes and only putting up 5 points, especially in a game seven elimination game,
5 points.
And you put up 8 and 6 in game six and game five. So it wasn't just game seven that crapped the bed. Games five and six, he put up 6 and 8 or something like that. Yeah. So it's like,
didn't Draymond say he's like better than him, or like Ben Simmons is like a glorified version of him or something like that?
Yeah, he's a younger Draymond. Broken.
That's funny.
But Draymond has the balls to at least shoot a three.
Oh, yeah.
And make a three.
And Draymond has the balls to
be. But that just goes to show Ben Simmons could be like light years better than him.
He just doesn't just so take soft. The initiative.
No.
He doesn't look to be aggressive, and that's what hurts Philly. And that's what I'm saying. I made this post a couple days ago, right after Philly lost. I said, I don't want to hear nothing about intangibles, little things, defense, and all right. that. I was like, at when push comes to shove, if you shoot – you only have 4 attempts in an elimination game at home, you can tell me, oh, we had 13 assists, you had 8 rebounds. I don't care. You still lost because you had 4 points, 5 points. Shoot the ball. And you're the point guard of the team. So there's no – you know damn well you could probably find – if you watch highlights of the whole game, you will find 10-plus times probably of him standing at the three-point line with the ball in his hand with nobody guarding him. And he had 0 attempts. And that's why I was saying in previous videos that Giannis plays kind of like how Simmons should be playing. Giannis has the ability to shoot the three. Giannis is not scared to shoot the three. Giannis is not afraid to play bully ball all game long, every game.
No, Giannis is like, he'll make the same mistake twice too, where like he'll charge in and get a charging foul.
Yeah, like
knock someone over. He'll do it two plays in a row. He's not scared of that.
There's no reason for Ben Simmons to not be shooting the ball 10 times every single game. If you have only less than, if you have 5 attempts a game, 4 attempts, there's no point. There's no point of you being in. And he's also a liability. I think you mentioned this. I don't know if you said this in previous videos or you said it to me in person, that the fact that he can't even be in late in games on offense because of the fact that he's a liability at the free throw line, and he's a liability on offense because he can't shoot anything within past 15 feet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's just sad.
It's tough to win games like that.
That your max player, one-third of your point cap guard space, you can't even play at the end of the game.
Nope.
So that's just a big, big issue. And I think, like, even if you trade Ben Simmons, you know, your problems are not solved, because then it's deeper than that, because your head coach is also bad.
Yeah.
Overrated in Doc Rivers. And I'm not going to be one of the green teamers like I loved in 2008. But
no, he choked it.
In 2008,
he could have had better
rotations. He had a really good team with the Celtics. He's had really good teams with everyone else on the Clippers.
Oh, yeah.
A couple times on the Clippers, obviously. A couple times in the Celtics. And now these years with the Philadelphia 76ers got swept last year.
Was definitely a failure.
Yep.
Wait, this his first year?
Second year, he got swept last year.
No, he wasn't with the Sixers last year.
I'm pretty sure he was.
No, he wasn't. It was still Brett Brown.
Unless he was just talking about it. Oh, he might have been.
No, he was with the Clippers.
He was talking about it.
He choked with the Clippers.
Yeah. I was saying, though, he talked about it in the press conference about what they asked him. Somebody asked him a question about, can't you look as positive this season? Because technically last year, Philly got swept in the first round in the bubble, and then they made it to the second round this year. They're asking him all like that questions. I confused it with.
Yeah, no.
For some reason, I thought he was there. Yeah. But they're just asked him about, technically you did better. But it's deeper than Ben Simmons there. And also, Philadelphia is just known for this. Like, in the past, trust the process. I saw a thing today. Almost every team in the past, like, 8 years since the trust process thing come out has been to more Eastern Conference Finals and more second rounders like all the rivals. The Bucks have been there a couple times now. The Raptors, the Celtics, the Wizards have been further into the playoffs since the trust the process have started. In that time, they haven't even been relevant in the past 2 or 3 years.
That's crazy.
So there's something needs to be done. There's just nothing else to it, honestly.
But yeah. I didn't like the rotations, though, particularly either through Doc Rivers. Like, I don't know why Shake Milton, who's been pretty good all year, wasn't getting any playoff minutes. Yeah.
Got nothing.
Yeah, Tybo could have played a little more as well.
Listen, Josh, there's three guarantees in life. Death, taxes, and Doc Rivers choking in game 7 of an important game.
True that.
And Ben Simmons missing a free throw.
Yeah.
So it's actually 4 guarantees in life. Actually, 5. And Giannis getting a 10-second violation at the free throw line.
Or airballing.
Yes. But, yeah, I think that hits on everything. This will be the end of the little mini catch-up on the series for basketball. We're going to be back to the weekly podcast and all that stuff. Next week, we'll probably have a hockey one up. And I'm going to try and get a baseball one up to talk about the illegal substances and stuff like that as well. Get some
and,
stuff up there.
Also, a little bit, me and Ryan and whoever else I might decide to bring on, we might be starting UFC because UFC really is growing. And we got a big matchup coming this summer with Conor McGregor fighting. So I think you guys would be very interested in seeing
so
that.
So let Kyle know, because we always tag on the Instagram posts all the people on the podcast. So let Kyle know what you guys would like to see of UFC, if anybody's interested in that. So, but yeah, I think that's the end of this video. And obviously, quick shout out. Again, to our sponsor, who has helped us so much throughout all this time. You guys know what to do. Links up top, phone numbers in the middle of the page. Call for an appointment or go online, book an appointment. Here's all the deals for this week. So, there you go. I hope everybody has a good night. We'll see you all in future podcasts.